I will get there. There we go. Well, good morning. A very warm welcome. Now, I know I'm on a time limit, and it's difficult sometimes to minister without a safety net. What I mean by that is without notes. But God's word is revelation, isn't it? God's word is truth. And there's something I just want to share, because I'd like you to pray about this, which is to do with believing the best for one another. Now, next week I'm going to be visiting Karen's care home. She helps to manage a care home, and I had a phone call from a lady who was passed on to me by Karen. And she asked me if I would do a service for her, where I would pray for her and her husband. And I would just do whatever, this is a dangerous bit, just do whatever I wanted to do. And basically, she said, we agreed, my husband and I, that after 30 years of marriage, we'd renew our vows. But unfortunately, 14 years ago, this man, who's a strapping ex-military guy, who you wouldn't want to meet in the dark alley if he was your enemy, he suffered a catastrophic, this is his wife's words, a catastrophic stroke, which paralysed him, which meant he couldn't speak very well, he couldn't read, he couldn't write, and all he could do is say yes, and if he did speak, he would swear. What a privilege it is. And because of, the reason I'm saying this is two reasons. One, will you pray with me that God truly blesses this couple? Because to me, when it says for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, she's taken her vows seriously. Isn't she? 14 years. 7 years at home with her and 7 years in a care home. That's awesome. For me, that's humbling. And two, I wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for your generosity. So when it comes to church, when it comes to this church, this is true. To bind up the broken heart, set the captives free. It's not just us here, it's those that are around us. Amen. Right, I want to share with you, continue with Judges. If you weren't here last week, just a quick recap. Or if you was here but asleep, a quick recap. We're talking about Gideon. And we're talking about Gideon being fearful. He's in the wine press, threshing wheat. He's hiding from the Midianites. He's understood what God has done in the past. He has read the books. He's watched the TV programs. He's seen the evangelists. He's understood that in the past, God did mighty works to deliver his people. But he hadn't witnessed the miracles himself. And an angel of the Lord turns up and he says, arise, mighty warrior. And Gideon says, pardon me, Lord. Arise, mighty warrior, I'm giving the Midians into your hands. But you can't use me, because I'm the least of my clan. I'm the smallest, I'm the less educated. I can't walk properly, I can't speak properly. I'm fearful. Why would you choose me? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because the Bible says that God doesn't look at the outward, he looks at the inward, doesn't he? He looks at the heart. And God uses the foolish things. So if you feel foolish, if you feel sometimes you don't quite know the answer to the question, then welcome. God wants to use you. So we have the second part of this story, and really it ties in, and I didn't plan this. It ties in with what I want to say to us as a church, and part and parcel of a small testimony that I've written out, just to talk about part of our journey. And it just so happens, I don't believe in coincidences, but when we pray, coincidences happen, don't they? And for me, I'm fortunate in a way that God does feed me day by day and week by week, and I don't have a string of sermons all prepared. It's this week for this week, and then we start on Monday all over again and pray for next week. So this just happened, that it came in to that coincidence pile where it fits in with what we wanted to say, or what I wanted to say. I just want to read scripture for us and just bring out one or two things, and then read something that I've written down, because I don't write things very often, and I struggle with reading my own writing, let alone anything else, but there's some things in there that I don't want to miss out. And it's to do with such a time as this. And I do truly believe it's for such a time as this. So let me read this with you. It's Judges 7:7, verse 1. Early in the morning, Gideon and all his men camped at the spring of Horeb. The camp of the Midians were north of them, to the valley near the hill of Moriah. In verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me, and they would say, 'My own strength has saved me.'" Now, I want to just remind us here that there's a vast army of over 100,000 men. A vast army. And God is talking to this man who feels insignificant. And he's asking him to do something. And he may be thinking, "Well, I have 35,000 men. I'm sure we can make a dent in this. We can do something for God." And what does God say to him? "There's too many of you. There's too many of you. Lord, can I have a word? How can there be too many of us?" And the reason he said there's too many of us is because he wanted the glory for himself. This is God. God wants the glory, not man. And when God uses our weaknesses, he gets the glory, doesn't he? But when we can say it's because of my strength, my resolve, it's because of my money, it's because of the way that I build, then God doesn't get any reward, does he? And he is a jealous God, but he loves us enough to give us the opportunity to give him the glory. Now, what I want to say here is when we read through the story of last week about Gideon, I brought out something that you may agree with, you may not agree with, but just bear with me and look at it for yourselves afresh. And just ponder it in your mind, because we're talking about where Gideon laid a fleece. And some people would say over the years, when I've heard someone preach or minister on this portion of scripture, he never had any faith, he didn't trust God. Well, I kind of slightly disagree with that, because I think that God gives us wisdom, doesn't he? He asks us to test things, to see if they work, you know, to prove something. You know, this needs to be tested to make sure that it's strong enough. The chair that you sit on had to be proved by the manufacturer that it will do what it says it will do. It does what it says on the tin, in other words. And I think what Gideon was doing was saying, "God, is this you talking to me? Because I haven't heard you speak to me for a long time. Is this man..." Remember, in scripture it talks about God said to the prophet, the man of God, "Go and do this. And don't do this. Don't eat with the people." And then another man came. I can't quote the scripture, but another prophet came. He says, "I too am a prophet." But God says, "Come back and eat with me." So he went back and he ate with him, and God killed him. Why did God kill him? Because he was disobedient. Because God never said. So we need to discern, is this God's voice? So once we've realised, yeah, I've read his word, I've heard his voice, this is definitely God, then we can do wholeheartedly what God's called us to do. And that's what's happened in this second part of this story. Gideon had already settled in his heart, this is God. And yes, I am weak and insignificant, but God's chosen me, so I'm going to be obedient. And then he can step out and step in, and he can hear words like this and tolerate it. And I want to suggest to me and you, if we know that God has spoken to us, if we know that this is God's word, then when we step forward, he'll fight with us, he'll fight for us. So we have this situation where the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many, I cannot deliver them, this army, into your hands, because I don't want you to boast and say it's my strength that saved me." See, God's looking for the weak and the insignificant. It's the sick that need a doctor, it's the sinner that needs a saviour, isn't it? If we have it, we don't need it. If we don't have it, then we do need it. So if we need grace, then God will give us grace. If we need mercy, then he'll give us mercy. "Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear..." Ever been there? God has asked you to do something, you think, "Oh my goodness, I don't know if I can." Well, this story tells us that's okay. If you can't, I'll find someone who can. Have you ever been in a meeting or a church service or worship service and you have this strong urge to say something? Or you have this portion of scripture that you just want to say it out loud? Or you have this inkling that maybe, just maybe, God is saying, and you're thinking to yourself, "No, no." And then someone else says it. Someone else does it, and you think, see, God will always choose someone else. If I was to say, which I used to, "Here I am, Lord, send someone else," he will. But when we say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," then he'll do that also. And be of good cheer, he uses the foolish ones, even the smallest, like Gideon, the insignificant. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There's still too many. He took 22,000 men left at that point. 22,000 men left. 10,000 left or so. They left because they were fearful. And yet they weren't maligned or mocked, were they? Gideon didn't say, "You worthless, useless people, go run." He said, "No, that's fine. We're giving you a choice." And we all have choices in life. God will at times ask us to do difficult things. There's no doubt about it. But one of the things I would like to encourage you with is there are things God's asked me to do that he hasn't asked you to do. There's places God's asked me to go that he hasn't asked you to go. But there are places God's asked you to go where he wants you to go and things he wants you to do that he wants you to do. But you and I are different. We're different. We have maybe different calls on our lives. But all God, I believe, is looking for is obedience. And that's what we see in this. Gideon had made his mind up that God was speaking. And once he heard his voice, he knew his voice. So when God said, "You have too many," he knew God was speaking. He didn't have to lay that fleece out all again. So let's be a people, a church, that will make it our mind's desire, our heart's desire to say, "Lord, this is what you've asked me to do. This is where you've called me to be. This is what you want me to do, and then I'll do it. Because I want to be victorious." But the Lord said to Gideon, "There's still too many men. Take them down to the water and I'll thin them out." And he gets them to drink. And he works out that there's 300 that would do what he wanted them to do. And they're the 300 he used. Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him to separate those who lapped the water with their tongues like dogs. And those that kneeled down to drink. 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped with, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home." Let all the others go home. There again, it shows me the heart of God and the heart of Gideon. God's heart is to go, "Listen, I want you to trust me, even though there's only now 300 of you, and there's thousands of them." How many times have we got to a position in our lives where we look around us and go, "God, I'm outnumbered. I'm outnumbered." I've been outnumbered many times in my life. I've been outnumbered on the street, I've been outnumbered in many different scenarios, I've been outnumbered in church. But if God is for us, who can be against us? We need to know that, as we sung, all the promises are yes. But there's a piece in there that we need to remember, but the amen is spoken by us. That we need to say, "Yes, Lord, I agree that all your promises are yes. Yes, Lord, I agree that you choose the weak and the foolish things. Yes, Lord, I agree that you've spoken to me." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 to look after the possessions. They took the possessions and they took the trumpets from the others. Now the camp of Midian lay before him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up and go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands." Now, God's speaking to Gideon. "I am going to give you it." Like God said to the spies that went into the land, I'm giving you this land, just go and survey it." But listen to what God says. Because we have a gracious God. God always gives us an opportunity to say, "Lord, I don't know if I can do this." "If you are afraid to attack and to go down to the camp, then take your servant, Porah, and listen to what they are saying. So you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Porah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. So the reason, the fact I'm pausing here is because God said, "If you are afraid, take him with you." He took him with him, so it means he was afraid. You see, God knows that we can be fearful. Have you ever, you know, they say your knees knock. Well, they do, don't they? The butterflies come up and they come out of your mouth and you can't speak and you're shaking. When I'm confronted, I don't like challenge. I don't like confrontation. I don't like fights. I turn to jelly. I have a big mouth, but I'm shaking inside. See, God still gave him an out. He said, listen, you know, if you're afraid, take someone with you. You don't need to go on your own. I'm not going to isolate you. Take a friend. So maybe in this next season, for such a time as this, you might feel like this man. But God would say, listen, I'm not sending you on your own, for I am with you. See, that's the truth of God's word. He wants to encourage us. So they went down to the outposts of the Midians and the Amalekites and all the other eastern peoples that had settled in the valley. They were thick like locusts. They could not even count the number of camels that they had. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling his friend. What a coincidence. Just as a man was telling his friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp and struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and the interpretation, he bowed down and he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. What an encouragement. So often what happens in leadership positions is the leaders can take all the glory. God's given me the victory. But he didn't say that, did he? He said to these 300 men who had been proved, who were valiant, who were obedient, God's given you. And so often when we have a corporate setting, a church meeting, we can think that we're the insignificant ones. And it's only about the platform ministry or the head of this department or the head of that department. No, God has given us. He said, Gideon said, God's given us, you, this victory. What an encouragement, and that's the kind of leaders we want in this church, isn't it? Those men and women that will say, you can do this. Trust God, listen to his voice, prove that it's him, and then be obedient and go forward. Yes, but I'm only this small, that doesn't matter. God will fight with you, for you. Then he turns around and he says this, divide the 300 men into three companies, 100 in each, obviously. He placed trumpets and empty jars in their hands, and in them were torches, lights inside. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. Pause. He doesn't say, do exactly what I say, does he? He said, do what I do. And there again, we want to be followers of leaders, don't we? We want to be those that are obedient, but we don't want to be told to go and do it. We want to follow. So Jesus says, come follow me. So when we look through scripture, we can truly say, what did Jesus say about this situation? He doesn't say, go and heal the sick. He heals the sick and says, look what I've done. Go do likewise. He doesn't preach the good news. He doesn't say, go and preach the good news. He said, watch how I preach the good news, now go do likewise. And this is what this man, this insignificant man, is doing. And I find, even as I'm reading it, these things are coming out, and I hope you get it too. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke their jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets, smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their hands and holding in their right hand the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted a sword for the Lord and for Gideon, while each man held his position. Each man held his position. I want to speak next week about rebuilding the wall. And when you look at the walls of Jerusalem being rebuilt, each man had something to do. And what we see here is each man held his position. What's God called you to do in the kingdom? Ask him. And then hold it. And then hold it. What about him, Lord? What are you going to do with him? It doesn't matter. I'll deal with him. Yeah, but what about her, Lord? It doesn't matter. I'll deal with them. You do what I've called you to do. Each man held their position around the camp. And the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled. What a story. What a great encouragement for me and you. In 1 Samuel 17, slightly related to this story, I mention David on a regular basis. And in 47 it says this, all those gathered here will know, this is David, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack, this is Goliath, the mighty mountain, representing all of the armies behind him. As he moved to attack, David ran away. No, sorry. David ran quickly before him. He ran towards him. He didn't run from the battle. See, we spoke about the armour of God, didn't we? And it talks about the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword, the shoes, the helmet. It doesn't talk much about the back, because God wants us to run towards, not from. Yes, he has our rear guard. The Holy Spirit is there. But primarily, he gives us what we need to run towards the battle. But David, just like Gideon, understood who his God was. And that's the key for me and you as we go forward. Has God said? If he has, then do it. Has God said? Hold your position. Move forward. Be encouraged. The Philistine moved closer to attack him. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. He ran towards him to meet him. In Isaiah 64, verse 8, yet you, Lord, are Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are the work of your hands. That's truth. You see, God chooses some people to do certain things and others to do other things. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. If that's true for you, that means if God calls you to be on the welcome team, then you should be welcomed. If that's true for you, if God chooses you to be on the worship team, then you should be a team worshipper. If God chooses you to articulate his word through preaching and teaching, that's your desire. If God chooses you to be on refreshments, then that's where God wants you to be, because we are the clay and he is the potter. Here I am, Lord, send me. And sometimes the enemy comes in and they say, you're not doing much. All you do is pray. What a blessing you are. If you came to me and said, Pastor, I have two things that I can do. I can either be in charge of the refurbishment of the classroom so you don't have to do anything, or I can pray. And I'll say to you, look after the refurbishment. I'll say pray. Pray. Because without prayer, you know, we can think that we are the tallest, the smartest, but it's because someone else is praying for us. I do the things I do because you pray for me. So if you don't want me to speak so long, you shouldn't pray so much. You see, it's your fault. In Matthew 5:14, final scripture, then I just want to read something to us and then we'll have some refreshments. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Jesus is talking here. A town built on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When we look at that story of Gideon, this is no coincidence that scripture intertwines with each other. Jesus says, you have a light, let it shine. And when we look at this battle, we had a trumpet that signified the war cry, and we had a light. A light. And can you imagine 300 lights all at once, 300 trumpets all at once, and then God brings confusion? They didn't have to lift a sword. God brings confusion, and the battle is won. See, God's given you and I a sword, but it's not a metal sword, it's his word. He's given us a trumpet to blow. He's given us a testimony to give, and he's given us a light to shine. And that light is the love of the Lord that's in us. That's the truth of the gospel that's in us. So I want to encourage us today with those words that if God is for you, who can be against you? Understand that God is speaking. And when you've understood that God is speaking, then seek his face to ask him, what's your position? I want to read something that I've written to you. I have 6 minutes, so I want to use those 6 minutes. And I don't write things down very often, and if the punctuation isn't right, or some of the words don't seem right, try and grab my heart, because I've written these things down here because I won't be able to remember them like I do scripture. So I'd like you to listen, if you would, and just try and digest what I'm trying to say to us as a church. It's been a little while where I've done a report. You know, we've been through some stuff in ministry. God has been faithful to me, and he's been faithful to you, and I'm truly grateful for that. And there's not enough time to actually say all the things I want to say, so I just want to condense one or two things. Is that okay? Okay. We as a church, I've had the opportunity to see the Lord's hand at work in and around us, Susan and I. We have had our challenges over the years, but it's true to say we've also been blessed. We are truly privileged to be able to serve this church, this body of believers, and call upon, and this call upon our lives. And like Gideon, I've seen numbers reduce. We've been sifted, we've been shaken, we've been challenged, but we've also been blessed. I would like to say and take the opportunity of saying that those men and women and children that once were part of this church, for them, their contribution over the years, I am truly grateful. Yes, there are times I could say we've had our challenges, but nothing is wasted. And those challenges can be used as opportunities to grow, to mature, and to be more Christ-like. Yes, the Bible says that you can come as you are, but we're not to stay as we are. We are to be Christ-like. We are to allow the Holy Spirit to change us, to challenge us, to cause us to grow. We need to always be reminded that the God that we serve is a holy God, and he wants us to be a holy people, set aside for good works, set aside to preach the gospel in season and out of season. Our works will not give us salvation. Our faith in what Christ did on the cross gives us salvation. But that salvation and that relationship will cause us to want to work for God. Over the past period of time, we were like everyone else in this world of ours. We've been affected by the lockdown, by the COVID virus, by the many health challenges that we see around, despite reading and hearing and being part of people's lives, where they've been devastated by sudden death, devastated by not being able to interact in touch and communication with loved ones. We've been affected too as a church. But one of the things that I have noticed, and I want to say thank you for, is the commitment of this body of believers to the Ministry of Grace Community Church. To bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. You have given your time, your talents, your finances over the entire lockdown period. Yes, it is true that I have received a lower income over this time. But the income that I received from your generosity and doing extra work outside of church and government help, I have truly been blessed. With the remuneration that I and Susan receive, we share the workload, we share the finance, we share the responsibility, and we look forward to what God has for us in the future. Many people on the outside looking in may see us, the weak and insignificant church in the area, say, "Thank you, Lord," because that means that when God moves in us and through us in a new way, which I truly believe he will, he gets all the glory. So for such a time as this, it would be good for us to go back to our roots and share food together and fellowship together. I just want to pause there. I haven't written this bit down, but I had a phone call many years ago from Karen. It's her fault. She says, "Andrew, we've hired a hall and we're going to have food together." Yeah. God knew what he was doing then. That was the beginning of this church. So we can get back to our roots. We can fellowship together. We can eat together. We can build each other up. As I look around me and I read and I study and I watch and I learn, it is plain to me that now is the time for the church body of believers to preach the whole gospel, the whole truth, not half a gospel, not half a truth, for you cannot be half-hearted. God wants you to be wholehearted. He wants his wholehearted church to rise up and to move out in obedience. There are too many lives being destroyed by divorce, lives being destroyed by suicide, lives being destroyed by mental health issues, lives being destroyed because they are convinced that there is no hope. The gospel is the gospel of hope. Jesus Christ is the answer. And we together, with all those who call themselves Christian followers of Christ, we are God's hands, God's feet, God's pockets. We are to use our voices, our talents, our incomes to share the gospel of hope with a hopeless, regardless of their status, their gender, their sexual orientation, their ethnicity, whether they are rich or they are poor, they are tall or they are short. We all have one thing in common. We're all part of one race, the human race. We have all sinned and we have all been given access to a Saviour. His name is Jesus. I am convinced there is power in the blood. I am convinced that God wants to bless his people. I am convinced that not all will be healed. I am convinced that we will go through trials and tribulation. But I am also convinced that for such a time as this, God wants his church to stand up, to stand out today, to believe that all things are possible. Gideon knew about and had stories about God, the God of miracles, but he had yet to experience the miracles in his own life. But once Gideon was convinced that God was speaking to him, he trusted and he became obedient. And that obedience led to success. So with that, it just leaves me to say, thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. Thank you for standing with me when I suffered my own mental health crisis. Thank you for your prayers. Fasten your seatbelt, because when God moves, it suddenly. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. And we say, Lord, here am I. Choose me. Amen.